Okay, this is Joan Stone on the 28th of July, 1986, in interviewing Thomas James O'Loughlin at his home on Woodland Drive in Lakeville.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. I just thought I'd try to bring back some of my family when I first came here was from Ireland during the potato famine over there, and all the Irishmen were looking for a place to go to make a living. And my grandfather wound up over in Orehill working in the ore mines. Old Davis went dead over in Orehill. And my dad and most of my aunts and uncles were born in Orehill up on top of the ore bed. There's a group of houses up there where all the people live. And from there they migrated down to the town eventually. My dad played basketball and baseball and everything for the old Orehill Boys Club and things like that, and grew up around here as did my Uncle Joe, and eventually became postmaster of Lakeville. But before that they had a meat market underneath in the building in the back of the old Holly Block, and then they had a garage, sold Hudson Terraplanes in the garage in back of Jen Smith's old house, which is on Main Street here in Lakeville. And had a two-lane bowling alley that used to have for duck bins, and also had a little restaurant type thing in there that a fella called Marty Goggins used to run at the same time in there. It was a lot of fun growing up in town. We were talking every day, a bunch of us, and back then I don't think anybody ever had a lock on their front door. If it did, it never worked, because you could walk in about anybody's house you wanted to visit somebody. And things like that was a pretty easy way of life, and there's a lot of stores you could go shopping around here where there isn't any more, and you could buy gas, I guess, about any corner you wanted to. It was more or less a self-sufficient area. I guess we didn't realize how good it was until we see all the changes we've got today.
Where was the bowling alley?
In that same building.
Which is now
a parking garage. And back of the building that Harry Campbell owns.
The apartment building.
And in back of that there's a big brick building. And there used to be two bowling alleys in there, and a little restaurant, and there's also a mechanics area in the back that used to work on the cars. And out in front and on the driveway going in, there was, used to sell gas out of the same place too. And it's the building on the northwest corner of the final apartment building. You can jump on the roof of the building from the lane.
What was the Farnham Tavern? Farnham Apartments.
That was an old stagecoach stop at one time, longer ago. And then it was overnight, like a hotel, where we used to have rooms upstairs. There was a ballroom on the third floor, there was a ballroom, which I think is still there, with a oval roof ceiling and a stage or anything like that. And that was there, and they used to use that for small plays and things like that, I guess back in the olden days. But it was a stagecoach stop at one time, and I think it was Hartford to Albany.
And then up the hill from that?
There was the gateway. It used to be a big hotel up there that was eventually torn down. It was less. I can't remember many people, but I keep on saying Collins, Collier, something like that. But the gentleman owned it, eventually went up to Great Barrington and built a motel up there after we tore that one down. And then I can remember as a boy with my uncle's meat market, helping him put ice in the storage room up over the market, and going up Belgo, the Drummond property used to have an ice house on it. And I used to use that for storing ice for the summertime, too. And we used to go in there, and the kids would do nothing but throw the sawdust over the layers of the ice blocks as they put it in for so that it wouldn't melt so fast in summertime. And that was always a lot of fun. Of course, they're always in the way, but that was hardy, too. And I can also remember, as a boy, the cars that my uncle and dad used to sell used to come in on the railroad cars in an enclosed box car. And there used to be five of them within the boxcar. And they would have them one in the middle right in the doorway that they used to have to put jacks under and maneuver it so they could get it out, and then they would have two on either end right next to it, and then they'd have two suspended above them so that it was all block and fall work to get them out of there. And back in those days, there was the railroad station is now the public nurse's offices, and going toward the lake where the road is now, there was a freight building where they used to take the freight off. And on the other end of the freight building, there was a dock which used to drive the cars out onto them and down a ramp onto the ground. And I can really watch them do that. And I can also remember when Lee Dufour had the contract to tear up the old railroad tracks at the same time. I can remember all that back in those days. It's a lot different than it was then. And then there was a jigger shop where Tammy and his wife used to run there. So all us kids used to hang out in there and have a lot of fun in the summertime out in the yard. And we'd go inside in the wintertime and bother everybody, but it was all right. Nobody seemed to whine too much.
What about the Stewart Theater?
Well, that was... Mr. Stewart used to run that. That was when we were kids, and he used to let us all into the movies free and give us a candy bar. We all stayed after and picked up all the candy wrappers and all the paper and everything else off. In other words, we made the mess and had to clean it up, and you got to see the movie for nothing. That was on Saturday, you know. And then as I got older, I was an usher. For about a year, I guess, I ushered in the theater. That's when people walk in, and we had a little flashlight, and we'd take them down because it was so dark in there and find a seat for them. And that was a lot of fun. Naturally, got to see all the movies for nothing like that. And Bill Compton was the projection operator back in those days, and we used to have to take a block and fall like with a piece of rope over a pulley and drag the film up in the metal case upstairs to him. Then he'd lower it down when we got through with it. And I can remember sometimes where they'd have a movie playing both in Millerton and in Lakeville, the same show, and they used to run the film back and forth and get through with it in Lakeville and send it over to Millerton quick and then get it back for the second show. Well, that was a lot of fun back in those days, and that was the thing to do.
Tom, when were you born?
I was born in 1926.
In Lakeville?
Yeah, I was born in Sharon Hospital.
In the hospital?
In the resident of Lakeville.
Where did you live when you were a kid?
We lived up on Lakeview Avenue in the house that Dick Fitzgerald owns now. And then Mr. Monahan, who was the athletic director at Hotchkiss School, lived next door for us for a period of time. And Bill Barnett lived down the road. He built a house down the road from us. And the Kane sisters lived on the same street. And the house on the corner where Ellis Ladle lives now. And then old Doc Leverty used to live on the same street. I don't know who owns it now, but John Verdon just moved out of it and sold it to somebody else. He moved up on Wells Hill Road. But Doc Leverty used to have an old Hupmobile. And about 2 days after Labor Day, he put snow chains on his car and keep them on, I think, almost in Memorial Day, because he was always afraid he'd never get to work in his drugstore. He just wore chains out one pair after the other. And he was a lot of fun. And he used to call a fellow named Mike Ottetop. He used to work in the soda fountain for Doc Leverty. And he was quite a stamp collector. He had a very extensive stamp collection, and I don't know what ever happened to that. And he passed away. And at the same time, Mike used to work also at the Lakeville Grove, the swimming hole over in Lakeville Lake that Dave Timmons used to manage or own or operate at that time. And I can still see Mike Ottetot out in the back room with a hammer and a whole pile of nails that Dave Timmons had torn something apart and had Mike take all the nails out and straighten them so he could use them again from one dock to the other. I don't think Dave Timmons ever threw away 5 cents worth of old nails. But we used to hang around over at the Grove all the time in the summertime. If you didn't have anything to do at home, you'd sneak down there and go swimming and spend the rest of the day until your parents caught you and brought you back home again.
What about, you told me that your grandfather came here and settled in Ore Hill?
Right.
Are the houses still there?
The house that he lived in is still there, yeah. And it's gone through, I don't know how many owners, but Bob Winters, who owns it now, took and extensively remodeled it, and him and his family live in it until now.
What was your grandfather's name?
Peter, if I remember that. And then the father of Thomas, or Lon Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, my grandfather's name was Thomas also, excuse me. And Peter was my uncle. And then I had the Uncle Joe, Aunt Margaret, and Aunt Anne. So it was about 1, 2, 6
mm-hmm.
And they've all gone down the road now.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to school in the public school in Lakeville, was down where the post office is now. And my first grade teacher back then was Mrs. Flynn. And second grade teacher was Mrs. Matheson. And the third grade teacher was Miss Hand, who's now Mrs. Lemoyne. Fourth grade teacher was Miss Metcalf. And fifth grade teacher was Mrs. Eggleston. Sixth grade teacher was Mrs. Wilson. And my eighth grade teacher, I was in a lucky class. We had Mrs. Eggleston being in eighth grade. So she was a very tough teacher, but she was a good teacher. She was very square. And then from there we went, that was in the grammar school, and from there we went up to what used to be the high school for the last grade 7th and 8th before I went down to high school in Falls Village, which my class was the second class into high school in 1942, I think it was. I think it was dedicated in 41, 42, and then from there I went into the service.
Who was in your class?
Well, Bob Thurston, Jim Casey, Ray Foulkes, Francis Hines, Betty Stanton, Joyce Brennan. You're asking for ancient history.
So your class going into regional, second group in, was it a big class from all the towns by then, or was it small? It's so big now.
Yeah, they were still relatively small. We were maybe a total of 70 or 80. I can't remember right offhand this time in the night, but there wasn't one. But naturally, I was during the war, and I think that out of our class, I think when we got ready for graduation, about a third of the boys, myself included, had already gone into service before the graduation exercises were held back.
And buses were, even with the gas shortage, buses still pick you up?
Oh, yeah. We rode the bus from Lakeville down to high school and back. I think there was 3 bus loads of us from Salisbury and 3 buses to take us back and forth. Yeah, there was one left through Salisbury, another through King, through Lakeville. Came up like Oxbus and now that way, another one up Salisbury, and then up Salisbury. That's not coming back to the whole history of the consumer.
Did you tell me about when electricity came in, Connecticut Light and Power?
Yeah, back then, my memory serves me right. My mother used to give me a burnout bulb, and it seems like I used to go down to the building where Robert Leach's real estate office is now, and that's where the Connecticut Light and Power had their office here. And we used to swap an old bulb for a new bulb. And I'm trying to think of the name of the people who were there, but I can't for life and think he was. And if anything, it rings a bell, it's Parkland. Maybe that's right near your phone. I don't know.
What were the other stores that you went to when you were a kid along Main Street?
Along Main Street, yeah, there was a lot of them then. There was Louis Redmond's Market, First National, up in the Holly Blocks, there was the Roberts store, and Doc Leverty's Pharmacy was up there in the Holly Block. And then E.O. Wagner had a real estate office in there. R.C. Miller had a plumbing shop in there, as well as one down on Main Street, where the package store is now. They used to be part of R.C. Miller's plumbing operation, too. And then there was Eaton Barnett's store was there then. And there was the A&P package store, which was also part of the A&P grocery store. And then there was Bessie's Lunch. It was in a building that Dufo Brothers used to own. It's gone now. That's where you drive into the ballpark. And Bessie Miller used to have a little lunch stand on a basement level. And above that, Paul Argle had a barber shop. And then there was Western Union was also in that building back then. And then there was an apartment up on the third floor with Barney Nielsen used to live. And then up past the Holly Block, Bob Thurston's father, Chet, used to have a barber shop. Mr. and Mrs. Singleton Fish used to have a real estate office in there. And then further up, Harry Abelhadian used to have what they call Lakeville Livery. And he used to run taxis and he ran buses back then in those days. And there's a Jigger Shop, which was a soda fountain, and he used to get the newspaper there and things like that. And then the Goddress, Ernie Goddress, and Louis used to have a fresh meat and produce store just by the Jigger Shop for Button, or the little, what was it, Buttons and Bows?
Yeah, Children's Shop.
Children's Shop's in there now. And then right next to that was the old store theater. And Duca Pavola back then used to have a novelty store. And when he first had the novelty store, he had the basement store in the Holly Block up on the hill, and then he moved down and bought the building across from the post office, which is now April 56, but he used to have a novelty store there, and his son Eddie, you know, used to take care of all the records. Back then, he had quite an extensive collection, and the Hotchkiss boy used to come down and try to buy two for the price of one back in those days. And Hugo used to lay linoleum and make window shades and things like that. He was kind of a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And also back around the corner where Arthur's Barbershop used to be in the Western Union, Herb Beebe used to have a window, or no, not a window, but a picture framing business. Used to take your pictures in there and get them framed. Used to do it the old fashioned way, cut them by eye. And Newforce had a garage on the corner where, at the intersection of 41 and 44. And then they used to see a place called The Hub, which was also owned by Ma Dufour, which was another soda fountain, which later became a grocery store. If there was any number of gas stations, I bet there was six or seven gas stations anyway in town back then, but down to one now. There's not a grocery store left in town where there was at least three or four, five, you know, that you could get groceries from back then, but there's no more going on.
The building that they're moving, the Dufour building, right now they're moving it. What was that?
That was the Hub where they used to have.
On the first floor.
On the first floor. And then Jim Casey, who used to work for First National, went across the street and started an IGA store in competition with the First National. And then it was laid vacant for a while, and then Baron O'Berry went in there with the jewelry store, which there's something in there between, I think. I can't remember what it was. But that Gott's wife bought that. She must go around the corner, I think.
What about Salisbury? Did you go there often?
Went up there on occasion, yeah, and just got Ben Whitback, not Ben, Walter Whitback was in my class too, and his father had a drugstore in Salisbury. But there was always a little rivalry between the people from Salisbury and people from Lakeville. And before the war, interstate baseball was very prominent around here. And Salisbury and Lakeville had a very tough rivalry, as well as Lakeville and Cana. And my dad was manager of the baseball team back before the war and during the war. If my memory serves me right, the Lakeville Firemen's baseball team were the interstate champs for 6 or 7 years in a row back when he was managing the team. And they used to have the four Whalen brothers used to play, Rick Whalen, Buck Whalen, Turk, and Babe Whalen. Brick was a pitcher, and Turk was a pitcher, and Billy Hines played shortstop, and I think Babe played third base. And Dick Gurney used to be a catcher back then. And Roy Bullimont was a pitcher. They imported him from Poughkeepsie area. But the community field is where the baseball field back then was. And in Salisbury, the baseball field used to be, I think, approximately where the town garage is, or in that area right now. So that's where they used to have their baseball field.
Did you go to Sharon or Norton much to shop? Canaan?
We used to buy most of our clothing over the Yankees back then. That was, I guess you want to call it the store to buy your clothing in. I guess it still is today. You know, and just go back through the years. And, but we used to go to the movies in Canaan or the movies in Mellerton, or if we had something different to do, you know, to see some of our friends when we got into high school. We didn't go there much before high school because we were more or less within the township, and that was it, you know, until we started expanding. When we started the regional high school, then we started meeting friends in Sharon and Canaan and things like that, and moved around a little bit. So before that, we pretty much stayed around down home. And we always find something to do and make our own fun. And we were going too far from home.
You can start talking about your chickens and the fact that there weren't any houses.
Back when I was first in school in second and third grade, Esther Frink, who lived on Prospect Street, which was across the lot, I call it, from Lakeview Avenue, where I lived, got me interested in raising chickens. And Dad built me a chicken house down in the back of our house, and I used to have maybe 40, 50 chickens going all the time, and I used to sell the eggs to all the neighbors. And it was a very quiet street, and nobody seemed to mind. But back then, the Kane sisters lived down the corner, and Mr. Martin lived on the opposite corner, where he first entered Lakeview Avenue, and then the next house. And back in Mr. Martin's was where Doc Levy lived, and the next house was where Mr. Monahan lived, and then our house was on top of the hill, and across the street from all these houses there was nothing but a big, big lot until everybody started building up there. And on the opposite side, we went down on the other side, and there's a house where, like, more Mr. Warren, who was the school principal, lived in one, and then on that corner was where old Mr. Barnett used to live. And then his son Bill, who was our selectman for good many years, built a house opposite his, and that was all the houses were on that street at that time. So all those kids in the neighborhood had the whole big lot to play in if we wanted, and the King sisters didn't seem to mind as long as we didn't make too much mess and destroy everything. And in the wintertime, the Vosburgs used to live, Sonny Vosburg and His parents lived on the corner across the street from old Mr. Barnett, and they had a great big ripper. And in the wintertime, we used to start up on top of the hill just past their house, and the Bosbergs, and John Bartle and his sister, and myself and all the other kids, and Eddie Tompkins, and Bill Stanton and his sister Mary. And we used to ride the ripper down from, that would be Bostwick Street, all the way down Bostwick Street up to the Main Street where the brook is on Main Street. Back then, and nobody seemed to mind me. They never seemed to sand the road, so if they did, it was all right, so we could still slide down that big hill. We had a lot of fun in the wintertime up there.
Ripper being a big sled?
Yeah. They used to get 8 or 10 of us on it at one time. It was nothing but a big long board with runners on either end, really. You know, and we used to have a lot of fun, and everybody had their own sled, so if you couldn't get on the ripper, you chased them down the hill on your sled for a while.
What about the tower during the war?
Well, during the war, it used to be, if I remember rightly, it used to be air raid or an airplane lookout tower across the street in that lot. And I don't remember, I guess because I didn't pay much attention, because I guess I was in the service at the time, so I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that's where it was back then.
Who manned it?
All local people, you know, they had 4-hour shifts, I guess it was.
Civil defense,
yeah, that's who took care of that. And I don't know who was in charge of it back then, but they used to have a lot of fun here, I guess. And back in those days, we used to have our milk delivered because there was a lot of farmers around here, like Paul Cleveland used to have a milk route, and his farm was up here on Wells Hill. And his homestead is where the Neal family lives now. And the barns are still standing from his farm. And I think that they're still, yeah, they are still farming it. And he had a milk route. And then just past that was Quality Farm, which the Billswoods used to own. And Mr. Brzee used to manage that. And they used to have a milk route. And used to deliver milk house to house. And then there's two or three other people, farmers that had milk out, but I can always remember Paul Cleveland and his son Brad used to deliver the milk to our house up on Lakeview Avenue, and I can remember in the wintertime that if they didn't have, well, the truck wasn't running or they couldn't get through, they used to have the milk, and I can remember one year it was snowing so bad that they brought a V-plow behind two horses to open the road and deliver the milk at the same time. And that, you know, but you can always figure on getting your milk no matter what happens. Paul and Brad would be there with the milk. And that goes back, and I can remember that. And,
talking about milk delivery, and the Schweikert, what was once Ralph Schweikert, what was that? Farmhouse?
That, well, on the corner where you turn in on Beaver Dam Road, there used to be a fellow used to farm that, and I can't remember his name, but I can only remember that he delivered a small amount of milk, and he delivered it, if my memory serves me right, in a $4 Buick sedan, and he had those, back in those days, he had the flower holders within the car, and he always had fresh flowers in it as he delivered his milk. And then old Bert Clark used to deliver milk also, and if I remember rightly, his farm was down where the village housing is now, in Salisbury. And I can remember him delivering milk. And then, what little I remember about the milk business, all the farmers got together, and John Rand used to also deliver milk. Quality Farm, and the Cleveland Farm, and Frank Bailey used to deliver milk also. And then John Rand had a farm up in Salisbury. They all got together and formed kind of a local co-op, and that's when they started the Salisbury Farms Dairy. And then they all took their milk down there and they bottled it down there. And Bill Schlock, who used to work for Paul Cleveland and his milk processing plant and delivered also, went down there as the, I guess you want to call him plant manager, because he did all the bottling and took care of making sure about everybody that went on the trucks and stuff like that. And then they also started the milk bar up front. And then it's now the National Iron Bank is where the Salisbury Farms and Dairy Bar used to be located. And right next to that, there's also a branch of the Community Service, which is now Service Plus. And they used to sell Park Silver now. Ran that, and they used to sell a lot of fishing equipment because Park was a very avid fisherman and a great storyteller and things like that. And they used to repair your lights or your irons or your toasters and stuff like that. I used to take them to see them. And we used to have a lot of fun up there with him because us kids used to go up there to buy a lot of our fishing equipment all the time. And you get your wire line all tangled up and this and what have you, the reel stuck. You take it back to Park and he'd sit there and tell your story and straighten it out for you. So that was kind of, got to be kind of a meeting place when you wanted to go get a good story sometimes.
Where'd you fish?
In Lakeville Lake and in all the brooks around here.
In your own boat?
Yeah, no, just fishing ashore. But I used to like to go back when I was a kid. We used to just go in the Burton Brook and down Farm Road, down that brook down there, and get all the fish you wanted, no problem at all. But I used to fish also in the Factory Farm, and you'd catch all you wanted to, no problem. It's just, you know, very easy to catch fish back then, which it is again today now too. But, back long ago, I was still kind of young, but I can remember the older guys in town. They had used to play a lot of hockey, and they used to play it not only in the Factory Farm, but I can remember, if my memory serves me right, there used to be a place down on Farnham Road, and it's just past Perry Street. There used to be a swamp area there, and they used to keep that cool and play hockey down there. A pickup team. Mike Otticott used to play down there, and fellas were older than I was. I used to go down there and play until it got safe up on the Factory Farm, or after the Factory Farm was soft enough.
Anything else?
I can't think.
That comes to mind?
I can't think of anything else right now. Maybe I should go listen to all these tapes and read some of the history, probably find out a lot of things I forgot.
Thank you, Tom.